We have looked at the various aspects of business. Of course, among the most important things about business entrepreneurship is how do you finance your business. In this chapter, we are going to look at financing your business. Let's look at some of the learning objectives of this particular session. Every business needs finance, and there are many sources through which you can raise finance for a business. In this chapter, we are going to look at how are we going to recognize the alternative sources of finance for a new business, and how do you choose between these particular alternative objectives. You also understand the key financial concepts that are needed in order to run the business. We are also going to look at two extremely important financial statements that you need to understand in order to manage your business. You also need to understand how do you intend to improve your cash flow management in order to sustain your business. And you also need to understand how investors and lenders will evaluate your business when they consider to fund it. So these are the learning objectives of this session. Let's dive in. One of the main reasons for doing that businesses fail is basically because they run out of money. They run out of cash. Your business model might be sustainable in the first instance when the investment is from your own money. But in order to sustain your business over a period of time, you need to basically make sure that there is sufficient money and cash available. Let's look at how that works. It's not just maximizing your profits. Your key stakeholders, which could basically include your suppliers, which could be your customers, which could be your distributors, could be the investors, as well as your staff, need to perceive that there is a mutual value in the deal and making it is worthwhile for them. They should feel that it is worthwhile associating with this business in terms of whatever is their return of investment that they could probably procure. So, graphically represented, if you look at it, it would be something like this. Financing your business basically could probably come from three areas. One, it could come from equity financing, it could come from debt financing, or it could come from reinvestment of profit. We're going to spend some time looking at each one of these aspects and exploring what they mean and how it relates to your business idea. Let's first look at equity funding. Equity financing is basically contribution from the owners at the beginning of the business. Now also understand that equity that the people who put it into the business, the opening amount of money, the starting amount of money that is essentially put into the business, this equity is never repaid unless the business is going to be liquidated or closed. Okay? And it is only basically, it can only be done or it can only be paid if there is sufficient funds available and you have moved into liquidation. And that's when it is returned to the owners. You also need to understand that there are no regular interest payments on this. They will receive dividend if the business performs well and it becomes profitable. So essentially, when we talk about equity funding, it is the startup money that the people who are owning the business invest into it. Never gets repaid unless the business gets into liquidation and gets closed and there is sufficient funds available in order to make the return to the owners. There are no regular payments that are made in terms of interest, and the owners may receive some sort of a dividend if business performs well and there it is profitable. Let's look at the next one, which is debt financing. Debt financing comes from external sources. It's basically a debt. So it's basically a debt that the business incurs. It could come from third party. It's external to the business. This money needs to be repaid with probably interest at a particular period of time. Okay. So loans which are taken by the business have to be repaid. Not only does the loan, not only as in terms of the loan amount, but also the interest need to be paid. The lender needs to understand that he will get his money back. He is usually the first in the queue if a business goes bankrupt, provided there are sufficient funds. So debt financing basically comes from external sources. Usually they are third party and they are external to the business. It's a loan that needs to be repaid along with interest. The lender gets the money back and is usually has got what is called the first lien, or he's the first in the queue in case the business goes kaput or bankrupt. That's of course providing there are sufficient funds that can be liquidated in order to pay back the lender. The third aspect of financing comes from reinvestment of profit. This comes from the business owners. That is, whatever profit is earned by the business is put back into the business, is spent on supporting the business. So you conduct the business, you basically find the customer, you collect the payments from the customer. After you've collected this payment, you basically figure out what are the monies that have to be paid in terms of cost, and whatever occurs as profit is plowed back into the business. And that's basically reinvestment of profit. Now let's look at cash management. Cash management is basically trying to assess the flow of money or the flow of cash into your business and continuously thinking how you can improve them. When you are talking about or thinking about cash management, some of the things that you may probably want to consider is, how do you collect money from your customers? You probably provided them with the product or service that you are basically offering. Now you need to collect the money for the same. After you've done that, you need to pay your suppliers. The cash amount you need to keep reinvested in your inventory. And what are the agreements and terms that you have reached with your suppliers and distributors? Basically, when you talk about cash management, you are establishing where your business has cash committed. And this can be quite complex, because goods may have been bought, they may have been paid for in cash, and we need to know that through the statements of accounts. Employees who are involved in manufacturing activities may be requiring to be paid. So that's another thing that you need to keep track on. Every business has got certain overheads like rent, electricity, computer costs, and those also need to have been paid, or they were already been paid. Then there are running costs, okay, which are needed in order to run the business. And some of these running costs could probably be money that is actually to be paid before money is received from the customer. So in order to be able to do this, you will need to basically keep financial accounts. When it comes to financial accounts, some of the things that you want to consider are, some of the concepts that you need to look at is working capital. When it comes to day-to-day running of the business, the day-to-day activities, which is basically operational costs, have to be taken into consideration. A positive figure of working capital indicates the immediate cash that is owed to the business. That means basically you have to ensure that the money that is owed to the business is more than the current liabilities that is owed by the business. So you got to ensure that your income is higher than the expenditure that you need to make. And that's how you have a positive figure as far as the working capital is concerned. Working capital basically comprises cash held in the bank, in the inventory, plus cash that is receivable from the customers. Less cash due to be paid to, basically it is basically called payable. So your receivables need to be higher than the payables. Another concept that you need to be paying attention to is what is called the balance sheet. The balance sheet is an indicator of the financial health of your business. It basically talks about the business's ability to pay its bill when they fall due. A balance sheet is a short list of assets and liabilities of a business and where it has got its equity at that particular moment of time. A balance sheet basically talks about cash resources and how much debt there is in relation to the equity that it has. Now, some of the terms that are used in a balance sheet are asset, liability, equity. Let's look at these three first. Assets are things that the business owns or money that is owed to the business. This is basically things like your office, things like the plant and equipment. These are all things that are owned by the company. So these come under assets. Okay. The monies that are receivable by the business is also part of the asset. There is also the next term is liabilities. These are the financial obligations or the amounts of money that the business owes to others or any other person, somebody. So whatever is it that you need to spend, whatever is the cost that you have incurred is basically liabilities. The third term that we spoke about is equity. This is usually also called net worth. This is basically the assets minus the liabilities. That is the total remaining value of the business after all the obligations are taken into account. Some other financial or balance sheet terms that you need to look at is depreciation and fixed assets. Let's look at depreciation. It's the allocate the cost of an asset over a number of years, which is basically what happens is when you have plant and machinery. Now, that plant and machinery basically is an asset, but the value of that, there is a particular lifetime that that plant or that machinery has, which is basically called the useful life of that particular plant and machinery. Now, the value of that keeps depreciating. So every year you will find that there will be a lesser amount of value that is prescribed to that particular plant and machinery. So depreciation is basically the allocation of cost of an asset over an appropriate number of years. So fixed assets, as I said, plant and machinery, may appear to have declining value in successful years. A balance sheet could probably look like something like this. The next important sheet is basically the profit and loss account. It's also called the P&L account. Profit and loss accounts is also known as the income statement. This basically shows how the business has performed over a period of time. It tends to measure if the business is whether the business is economically viable or not. It pulls together the sales revenue and the expenses for a specific period of time. Okay? And it basically looks at whether you are making a profit or a loss. So like I said, the profit and loss account basically is also called an income statement. It basically tells you how the business has performed over a period of time. It measures the business's economic viability and it takes into consideration the sales revenues and the expenses for a specific period of time and calculates whether we're making a profit or you're making a loss. Looking further at the P&L account, is basically, or an income statement as we call it, is the complete trading picture and business activities over a period of time. And it probably includes terms like sales made before the customers actually paid for it. Expenses shown will include costs and expenses incurred, including some of which the business has not currently paid yet. Sales revenue includes cash sales and sales made on credit terms. Cost of goods sold includes cash purchases and purchases made under credit terms. Once again, looking at some of these concepts, basically it gives you a complete trading picture and the business activities over a period of time. It takes into consideration the sales made before the customers actually paid for it. The expenses shown will include all costs and the expenses incurred, including those where the business has not yet paid for. Sales revenue will basically include cash sales as well as sales made in credit terms. Cost of the goods sold in terms of cash purchases and purchases made under credit. Going further on the profit and loss account is an income statement basis of making business decision. This is used in order to make further business decision. It allows the business owners to see what is the trend in sales, expenses, and margins over time. It helps you make comparison with previous periods as well as other businesses in the same marketplace. It provides a basis for doing your budgeting for the future. So once again, it's the basis for making business decision. It allows you to see trends in sales, expenses, and margins in a particular period of time. It helps you make comparisons in terms of previous time and in terms of other businesses in the same ecosystem. It forms the basis of all budgeting decisions that are made for the future. A profit and loss account will look something like this. In session 2, we had looked at the various types of businesses. Okay. Here we are going to look at basically limited liability. So a limited company is essentially owned by the shareholders. They have paid certain money to the company in order to acquire a legal and financial interest. It's called a share in that particular business. Now, if you have incorporated your business, that means you have either made it a limited, which could be shown in full form as the complete term limited, or LTD or PLC, as owner, you have protected yourself from the losses that the business can make, because the losses that the business makes is different from and is separate from your own personal value or a personal, worth. So it's basically the business is a separate legal entity. Okay. So limited liability, it's basically owned by shareholders who have paid money in order to acquire a legal and financial interest, which is also called shares. So incorporating a business, basically bringing in, having a term called limited or PLC, it protects you from the losses the business makes in because you and the business are two separate legal entities. Going further, there is an incorporation process which protects the investors and acts as an incentive for the investors to invest money. The maximum amount a shareholder basically loses if a business collapses is the original investment amount that he made in the shares. The company shares can be bought and sold by the owners without great financial impact on the company. A certain register is maintained with the names and details of shareholders at any given time. This is basically about limited liability. We're going to now look at what potential investors are basically looking out for. Potential investors basically look out for what is called, which we had seen, the mutual value. They basically look at the return through regular payments, dividends, or increase in the future value of their shares. So basically they are looking at what is called mutual value. And we had seen that mutual value comes from various things. So they are looking at regular payments that will be coming to them in terms of dividend, or they also are looking at what future value, how increase happens in the future value of their shares. They want to understand past performances and use that as an indication of the viability of your future plans. And you may have additional terms of value that you have to take into consideration over and above the external investigator. What further are potential investors looking for? Potential investors are basically satisfied from your prospect, the rate of growth, your past, competitors, current state of the economy, and these all form as indicators of the attractiveness of providing a loan or an investment. They also look at your personal track record. Okay. Now, if you are starting out, you may have relevant history, or if you're basically starting out fresh, then you may not have much relevant history. In that case, they will look at the resources and the skills and the capabilities that you and your team intend to exploit in order to basically take your business idea and create a business out of it. What further are potential investors looking out for? They are also looking out whether you have a particular technology or knowledge or something which you have patented. Is there any new demographic or in or geographical market that you are basically targeting. They're basically also looking at defining your business model and what value proposition you are making. Further, they are looking at collateral and assets as part of the security that you would probably give, and the effectiveness that you possess in collecting cash from the customer and your ability to manage the cash flow. So these are some of the things that every potential investor is basically looking at. Some of the things that of recent have taken prime importance are, is there any particular technology that you are using which will give you an advantage? Or is there any knowledge that you possess which will basically give you an advantage over the other competitors? Is there a new market or a new demographic or a geographical market that you are basically targeting? What type of business model are you got, and what is the value proposition that you bring into the marketplace? They also look at collateral and assets, and how well are you able to collect cash from the customer and manage your cash flow. So the cash flow forecast will basically look something like this. Now let's look at the type of debt agreements that a business could incur. One of them is preferential shares. Preferential shares, essentially, they carry a guarantee on fixed interest rate. They rank ahead from ordinary shares. And in the case of insolvency, their repayment takes precedence over normal shares. The second one is basically loan stock or debentures. This debenture is basically a special kind of a loan, which is basically a contracted loan, and it is redeemable over a specific maturity date. They are basically used and issued in order to raise capital for purchase of a specific assets. And these debentures are basically secured on those assets. That is, basically, it is against these assets that the debenture or the stock loan is taken. Some other terms or some other types of debt agreements are bonds. These again are contracted loans. Bonds are potentially tradable, although they are usually unsecured. Another type is basically bank loans. Bank loans are fixed or variable rates of interest, money or business loans taken for a fixed period of time, and it's basically fixed or a variable rate of interest that you need to pay against that. They're often secured on the specific assets or on the business as a whole. So you can probably take a bank loan against plant and machinery, or it can take a bank loan against the whole business itself. Some other types of debt agreements are leasing. Now what happens is, when you don't want to upfront pay money and incur a huge cash outflow in order to purchase some asset, you basically lease that. So specific assets, you use lease finance, and this lease finance is secured against the asset. So that asset is pledged against that in that leasing agreement. It's less risky, and it's much less riskier than borrowing from a bank. Lease is secured on the asset which is being leased. So if it is plant and machinery, the lease is secured against that plant and machinery rather than the owner's property or the business assets. The lease contract requires the commitment of regular payments, and there may be an earlier cancellation fee. That means if you pay earlier, there may be certain cancellation fees there, because the company that offers the lease would have calculated the complete term and their income based on that. So your payment or prepayment, as we call it, is basically something that they incur a certain cost or a certain loss, and hence there may be something called a cancellation fee involved. Another type of debt agreement is bank overdraft. Now this is given completely at the discretion of the bank, and it can be cancelled anytime. And it's basically not necessarily in connection with how well the business is doing. You could probably have an overdraft which is suitable for funding short-term cash shortfalls. It's usually repayable on demand, and interest charges and fees are incurred, and is quite it's a very flexible type of borrowing. Sometimes internal banking decisions are concerned, the things that they take into consideration would also include external economic environment, and that influences the permission to get the bank overdraft. Another type of debt agreement could be supplier or basically trade payables. Suppliers essentially give you an interest-free loan for the period of credit that you have negotiated with them in order to make the payment. So suppliers will assess what is your credit standing before offering you generous credit terms. So essentially what happens is, while you buy products from your suppliers or from the trade and you incur, you basically have negotiated a good credit term with them, and naturally they are giving you an interest-free loan. So that's again another debt agreement. Now there are some other sources also. One of them is grant. So we talked about equity in the beginning. Apart from equity, the only other source of business finance that is not repayable is basically grant. It's basically a permanent cash infusion, and you have no loss of control that you incur by virtue of receiving a grant. We looked at section 2, and there are various developmental agencies and networks which probably offer you grant or can point you towards organizations that do. Now let's look at alternate sources of finance. Now, there are many ways in which you can raise money for your business and for funding your operations. And it does not necessarily involve a bank as an intermediary in the lending decision. These are basically alternate sources of finance. It could involve individuals coming together, pooling their funds so that a larger amount of money is available in the pool, which can be lent out to consumers and businesses. Usually, they are done through online platforms and through what is called crowdfunding. Let's look at each one of them. An online platform. Here, an online portal or platform, which is usually through a website, is created. The website allows the lenders and borrowers to have instant access to information about a business or a project that needs funding. Now, this fund is basically raised by fixed limited time, and it's usually for a couple of months. Online funds or platforms are basically not regulated the same way as banks are. There are fees and charges that are applicable for pooling and basically decisions to lend. The next is crowdfunding. Online funding opportunities to the public, rolling up small sums of money offered by many individual lenders and investors to form a potentially large amount of money for the borrower. Now, here, matching borrowers to willing lenders is what crowdfunding basically does. It is made available through a platform which distributes the request for funds for borrowers. Potential investors and donors can see the amount of support that is required and is uses this to influence the supporters' comments and business updates during the funding period. Now, there are many different types of crowdfunding. Investment-based or equity-based crowdfunding. Now, the investor receives a share in the business in return for the funds that they offer. The lender receives interest and repayment, usually in the form of bonds or debentures. Then there is peer-to-peer funding. In peer-to-peer funding, funds can be arranged as loans. The lender receives interest payments for a fixed period of time, and the repayment of their loan amount is in full. There is reward-based crowdfunding. It is basically arranged in return for goods or services. The value of goods and services is basically determined by the borrower. Now, you can probably look at, sometimes you find Facebook posts which says that they have come up with a new cycle, which is absolutely new, which basically works on probably like a treadmill. So you walk on the cycle and the cycle travels over a period of time. And since it's something absolutely new, they ask you through a particular agency, a crowdfunding agency or a platform, that you may probably book this particular product, but it is still not available. So against that, so they basically book it against for a particular price, and against that, funds are raised by the business. Then there is donation based, which is basically a charitable cause, and it's usually used without expecting anything in return. There is something called invoice trading. Another form of alternate finance is basically managed. It's managed through an online portal in which businesses can borrow in advance of against the monies that they intend to receive from their customers. So the customer or the business has not yet received money from their customers, but against the invoice that they have raised, you can get some money, and that is called invoice trading. Another form of crowdfunding is mini bonds. They are basically offered on some equity. They're basically offered on some equity-based crowdfunding portals. This is again not regulated in the same way equity-based crowdfunding, and hence have a high risk for the investor when it comes to the equity. P2P, which is basically peer-to-peer lending. Okay. They're basically innovative ways of getting money for your business. This is basically for businesses in the earlier stage where you can make a crowdfunding, you can make appeal in the marketplace. It's a viable alternative to traditional funding. The funding circle is established on a peer-to-peer lending platform. Let's look at public equity. The need to increase funding is the main reason for going public. So you must have seen that many businesses, when they are come to a particular stage, they go into the public and raise IPOs. So basically that is how you raise money from the public. As the business grows, it becomes successful in generating profits and increases its net assets, and it becomes a very viable and attractive investment proposition to external investors. And that is when you go in for public equity. So the business wants to further expand and needs additional funds. So they basically go out and create what is called an initial public offer, where shares are exchanged through the stock exchange. Now, IPO decisions involves a consideration of management time and cost that the stock exchange regulations will basically require. There are several reasons why private equity is a better option than issuing public shares. If a business is too small and does not have a track record or carry a high risk business profile, staying privately owned makes sense. It requires less requirement to disclose details about the business into the public. And hence, competition also does not get to know about much about it. Now, when it comes to private equity, it is less onerous because in terms of compliance and regulations, basically because it stays privately owned. Raising private equity from local investors and friends is quite quicker, and there is less exposure to hostile takeovers. Another form of basically getting capital is through angel investors and venture capitalists. A business angel investor is essentially who basically contribute both equity funding as well as management skills. And how do they do this? They form a syndicate and spread their individual risks. Angel and venture capitalists basically can provide for the businesses that don't need to go public but still want to expand. Business angels may want to take up board positions or board roles, board director roles, and their investment over a period of time, which is usually about 3 years. Going further on angel investors and venture capitalists, venture capital is basically those who provide you with equity funding for early stage, innovative and high risk business. They usually expect a high return on their investment to be achieved in a medium term. They may also support business with advice and guidance. Most of the times, angels and venture capitalists would want to basically get a seat on the board or even more, and insist on strong governance and regular meetings. Venture capitalists will expect to see an exit route, that is, a way to realize their gains on their original investment in cash, that is outlined right at the beginning before they fund the particular proposition. You may also remember that angel investors will want monthly management accounts and regular reports from the management team. So while you get the benefit of their finance and their knowledge, their contacts and experience, you will effectively be accountable for them for this particular investment that they make. Now, while you are going to look at various forms of funding, you may want to do weighing of the pros and cons. You need to consider the advantages of keeping control on your project. You may also want to take advantage of receiving expert advice, support, and access to large amounts of funding from venture capitalist firms or a business angel. Through crowdfunding, businesses get feedback and comments on goods and services from their investors, and these investors can also become your customers and become advocates, which in turn will help you develop your business. So we looked at various forms of finance, how you're going to raise the finance for your business. In the next chapter, we will look at how do we bring all this together. Thank you.